Welcome back to another episode of Mistakes Were Made Gaming Podcast. We're on episode number 8 now. It's amazing. We're back. We're up to 8 episodes. How you doing today, Lane?
I'm doing fantastic, and that's Big Lane Dotson to you, sir.
Oh, Big Lane Dotson calling the shots now?
That's right. That's right. I like to think of myself as the Scarface of this. You know what I mean?
The Scarface? Okay. Yeah, I like that. we can roll with that.
But I'm doing fantastic. How about you? How about you, John?
Good, dude. I'm doing great, dude. I'm doing great. We have some interesting things to talk about. It wasn't like a huge week in gaming, but there's still definitely some really cool stuff that we can talk about that I'm kind of interested to bring up to you. Some things I didn't even mention to you before that I wanted to get into. So I know the big thing that I think a lot of people, if you even just look up some what happened in gaming within the last week. I think one of the big things is the new Star Wars game, but I want to save that for a little bit later. First thing I want to talk about actually is I want to get into some more console stuff. So, you know, I'm sorry if you are a PC player. I'm sorry this might upset you that we're going to be talking about some console stuff, but just sit back, relax. We got some things happening in the console
world. Are we referencing the PlayStation 5 story that came out today?
Actually, that is not what I'm going to get into. We can get into that actually after another PlayStation thing I want to talk about first.
Probably
one of the biggest things, even bigger than PS5, I think. Okay. Even bigger than PS5. The fact that now...
Can you get bigger than the PS5? 90 million consoles worldwide.
Trust me. People have been waiting for this longer than they've been waiting for the PS5, okay? And I'm talking about you can now... finally change your PSN ID on PlayStation now. You can finally change it. Big thing happens. They said, let's do this, guys. Xbox has had it for years. We know that. But you know what? Yeah, we'll let people do it. We'll finally let people do it.
You know, considering the fact that PlayStation's always been ahead of the curve, this is one of those things that just stuck in the sand there. You know?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what it was the big issue behind why they waited so long, but you know, I was just reading up on it today, all you know, just looking it up, and they said this is only available on the PS4, and you can change your PSN ID if you have a computer. So if you go to Sony's page and you log in just like you would on Xbox with Microsoft, you can change it on your computer if you want. But if you own a PS3 or you own a Vita, you can't go on to that system and change it. It's not available on there.
And that kind of makes sense because they don't want to release a firmware update to make it so that it would, you know, update that. I get that.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of agree. You can kind of see already see that, you know, Microsoft or Xbox and, you know, Sony, they've been kind of leaving the older generations out, and it's happened to every generation. They always just kind of phase out the older stuff. So, which is fine. I don't think that's a big deal. It's something to complain about.
I'm going to complain. Why are you not releasing updates for, you know, 2003 video games? Like, what's wrong with you?
I mean, hey, if you're still playing that, you know, if you're still playing your Vita, more power to you. I'm not going to say you shouldn't.
I understand that, you know, the Spyro Game of the Year Edition back in 2003 came out. How dare they not update that?
I mean,
I can't release a retro edition.
I can't complain. I'm still playing Skyrim that came out 98 years ago. So, you know, I can't complain.
You know, it blows my mind it's been out that long, but it shouldn't because of how many versions of the game's actually been released at this point. So,
I know. It's kind of actually ridiculous. But more on that, it's the first change is free, and after that it's $10, which is the same thing as Xbox. So there's no real big difference there at all.
I didn't even realize that the first one's free because I've changed my name so many times. You know, when you're as popular as we are on this podcast, you got to hide from the haters. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what you did back in the day on the 360. You used your Microsoft points to just change your name. I mean, you didn't even really use it for legitimate things. It was just for name changes, really.
Well, originally, I think they tried to do the Microsoft Store with it, and then they realized, wow, this is kind of stupid.
Let's go
to regular real money.
Yeah, I will say the points thing was annoying. Yeah.
It was probably around for like 2 months, and then at one point they changed it around. I'm like, oh, okay, that's nice.
It's like, welcome to the real world. Let's use actual money. You know,
yeah.
you don't need your own
you know, you don't need Canada by playing the Terrence and Phillip premium game, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
exactly. Yeah. But you can also, they also said you can, if you change your name and you say, okay, that's kind of stupid, I want to go back, you can go back for free. They won't charge you. You can just have to contact support and they'll just do it for you. You can also, after you change your name, you can display your old name on your profile in case someone searches for your old name or something. It just shows there, I guess. So I guess that's useful. Right. But they did say that after they released this change that you can now change your name, there have been some reported bugs with certain games. Really? They said that they announced this back last year, actually. April 1st is the date they put. They said on April 1st, any game published after April 1st is fine. But any game before that, it was not originally published to have this feature, to accept this feature. So yep. there may be some issues. They said generally there isn't a lot of issues that they've been seeing, but they have seen them come in here and there.
So the moral of the story is PlayStation 5, wait for it, and then change that.
I guess
off this gen of PS4 as yourself, and then become a new person later. You know, it's kind of like your weight goals. You know, who needs 2019 to lose weight? There's always 2020. You know,
I guess if you bought your PlayStation, if you started your PSN ID back in like, you know, PS3 days or PS2 days, and now, you know what, like, you know, a decade later, you're like, okay, I finally want to be able to change my name. It's kind of a big sigh of relief that now these PlayStation users can now do it for all the diehard PlayStation fans out there. So it is a nice thing. I'm thank God they can finally offer it to the players. I'm really happy about that. So
yeah, but, because you know, a guy named like Hippie Monkey needs to be called Loves to Splooge 69. That's just a huge deal.
Exactly. You know? That's the point.
It's all about individual identity.
You know, now this is the point where now everyone just goes out there and just claims as many names as possible.
So, I just for the record, I want to gauge your opinion on this. There was one time I came across a guy named, I think it was like Unicycle Wheelie.
Unicycle Wheelie, what?
Yep, I thought it was the most entertaining name that I've ever read. Now maybe it's just my sense of humor, but you know, I've also come across iNoScope JFK. I'm wondering if that was actually reported for being inappropriate.
Wonder if that actually happened.
A guy that wrote iNoScope JFK. Yeah, that's absolutely a real name.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing.
I came across him in Call of Duty. It was probably the greatest thing I've ever seen.
That is amazing, Tim. I am so happy to hear that.
You enjoying that water there, bud?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway, it's okay. I'm about to crack one open myself, except it's going to be a flavored water that has alcohol in it, so we're good there.
Anyway, yeah, I mean, let's just say it's water. Anyways, yeah. PS5. PS5, there's some news leaked. Was it today or recently? Probably just recently, right? Or was it today?
Yeah, so PlayStation 5, it was actually in a, I believe it was Wired.com, which is very strange. I never thought that I'd see an interview with that, but they did an interview with it. Basically, they are promising allegedly 8K. Because, you know, impressive. If you don't have an aneurysm by trying to process the most amount of graphics possible, you're obviously doing it wrong. And then they're also going to release with a solid-state drive, which a lot of people, especially on the PC side of things, are going to be familiar with. Apparently, in comparison to a PlayStation 4 Pro, mm-hmm. The loading time difference in Spider-Man, for example, because they have the dev kit version that they compared it to.
Okay.
So a load screen would normally take 15 seconds on a PS4 Pro. Apparently on the PlayStation 5, it is 0.83 or 0.87 seconds for that same load screen.
That's actually a big difference. Yeah.
That's the difference between a solid state drive. If you don't know what a solid state drive is, so you know those people that you're always sitting there looking at and you're like, oh, why is it that they can immediately turn on their PC and log in? It's because their Windows is on what's called a solid state drive. So mm-hmm. essentially the load up's going to always be the same. Right. It's just faster. It's faster. And most laptops are kind of carrying them these days if they're like, you know, medium to high end, yep. Mid to high end laptops. The cheaper laptops, you're not going to be familiar with it, and you're going to be familiar with the please wait while we load 50 second screen.
Right.
So that actually does appeal to me a little bit. I am a hardcore Xbox homie. They've also said they're going to release with PS4 compatibility, la-di-da. I would assume after how badly Xbox botched it when they announced their Xbox One, that they should learn from that and release backwards compatibility. And then they're also going to be, the other thing that was confirmed was they are going to have a disc.
Really?
So there's going to be an actual disc tray. They would like to still sell discs. I can appreciate that as someone that actually prefers discs. Of course, this actually comes off really weird whenever I'm saying it on a podcast, but rhymes. But anyway, if you think about it, you know, some people, like when they get a collector's edition or anything like that, like I don't want a digital copy. As much as we knock on GameStop for not having the most trade-in value, you know, having a disc, having something in your hand, something tangible, it feels more powerful than a DLC code that is thrown away after you're done using it. Or, you know, just downloading it and then re-downloading it later, which is great. And you want to do that with some games. Like Red Dead Redemption, that was one of the games that I did it with. Why? Because it's a game I'm legitimately going to play later. But if it's a single-player game, like full-on out, not like an open-world game like Red Dead that is going to, you know, have tons of extra stuff, then I'm going to go trade it in. So, you know, from my perspective, I see that as a pro. I hope to God Xbox, because, you know, I know Xbox is releasing there's no disc at all in this. It's like the PlayStation or the Xbox XS or something like that. It's discless.
Right.
I'm not a big fan of that.
Right, and that's actually what I wanted to get into next, is I wanted to start talking about that, is that the Xbox, they call it it's the Xbox One S all digital version. What it is it's just the Xbox One S without the disc drive. That's all it is.
How much cheaper is it in comparison to the normal S is my question.
Well, first off, I just want to point out too, if you haven't seen the trailer for it that the Xbox released, I highly suggest you do. Because they treat it as a comedy, which is absolutely hilarious. they make it a big long, this big long video about them talking about how they made the Xbox One S all digital version when all they did is take out the disc drive. But they kind of like, they know how comedic that sounds, so they turn it into a comedy video, which is actually pretty funny. But anyways, it's an all digital, no disc drive, and the retail version cost, just the Xbox One S all digital, is $249. They said they're going to have, eventually they're going to have bundles come with it that include already pre-downloaded games on it, or, you know, sorry, not pre-download, but codes to download the game, and they'll have bundles like that for cheaper, or, you know, maybe a little bit more. But it's kind of nice, because they said right now, if you buy the Xbox One S, it actually comes with three games right now. It comes with Minecraft, Sea of Thieves, and Forza 3. And they're not real huge games, but that's still a really good start for if you're a young kid, you're just getting this for, you know, your parents are getting it for you. That's good. Those are three good games that can last you for a long time.
Absolutely. And that's a good value. Game that definitely has replayability.
Yeah. So, so I was really surprised at that. So, and they said they're eventually going to be working on a streaming service too. Where they can, if you have from your Xbox One to your PC to mobile, even they're working on a streaming service that way you can play, you know, you're safe from wherever you are, which is nice too. That's cool. Going to be in the future, obviously. We don't know when that's going to happen, but it's nice to hear they're working on that. You know, I think that'd be really cool to do, especially with games like Fortnite or something.
If you're going over to your buddy, it makes it like, for example, like I came up and visited you in Buffalo, right?
Right.
And when I visited you in Buffalo, I lugged my Xbox to the airport, and kind of cover up the fact that I was a complete nerd bringing an Xbox, you know, the security guard asked me what I was doing. I said, I'm going to go play in a tournament. You know, like, didn't even ask me any questions besides that, right? So, nice. But it was one of those things where it was like, you know, that's going to make it way easier, because if I have my Xbox at home, and then I go visit you, and you got an extra controller, I can just use your PC, and bam, or your laptop, or whatever it is, and I can play from right there.
Yeah, that's really nice. Just the fact that you can do that. Yeah. So what I like about this, though, is that this kind of shows that Microsoft is really pushing towards have more digital stuff. Especially,
and they try to get a head start on it by saying, oh, by the way, no used games before, and you know, like, or no pre-owned games before, right? Like, or no previous gen games is what they were pushing, but the backlash was insurmountable there.
Oh yeah.
So, if like let's say like one of the rumors is right now is that the next Xbox, the brand new Xbox that's going to be announced at E3 this year, is allegedly not going to have a disc drive. That's going to be a problem to me, and the reason that's going to be a problem to me is because I've got all these other discs for all these other games, and your expectation is me to keep my Xbox One. I want to go trade it in. That way I can get an Xbox 2X or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, a 2X, that's funny. It's like a shirt size. But anyway, you know, I'm hoping that they aren't buying into their own hype with that. I'm, you know, for them to play catch up and to compete with Sony in the future, they've got to be taking steps forward where they bring in more people and add to the community and add more options and have that diversity. They're not going to be doing that if they remove disc drives, because there are still players that, guess what? They won't be able to download games.
Mm-hmm.
They live in the middle of nowhere. So what do they do? What? They buy the disc and they play it at home.
I think with the problem with that too, though, is that you have more and more games now, like, for example, Destiny, where it's like, even if you did get the disc, you're still going to be downloading a lot of data on that disc for a lot of updates and just, you know.
Well, yeah, especially with the, what is it, with all the issues that come out now, the games as a service model, which is bullshit. You know, I can see that being an issue. I mean, I see the people already that don't play online because it actually makes their game slower, you know, because they probably live in the middle of bump freak Egypt, you know, like.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that, man. Like, you know, there shouldn't be an issue with that. You should be able to still play locally on a console. That should not be an issue.
I think, you know, but, I mean, you can also look at, too, that they're also offering services to help these people with online. They're trying to make it push more towards digital. Like, my example is that the Game Pass, their Xbox Game Pass. The fact that, you know, people call it, like, the Netflix of video games, where they offer thousands of games all for just $10.99 a month, and you can just play whatever you want to play. And so that's kind of nice, though, so you don't have to have all of this. So you can just log on your Xbox and just play whatever you want.
Sure, for people that have no issue with internet connections. But as we well know, the internet scene, you know, where, like, for example, there's a small company called Hotwire Communications. If I would have kept them, and I live maybe 10 miles outside of the city limits of Tampa, okay? It's a very, very well-populated area, all right? Mm-hmm. But we had, at my homeowners association, they had a stupid contract with a company called Hotwire Communications, and they didn't offer internet speed that would even play the Google Stadia.
Hmm.
But that was their high-speed connection, which, I mean, that has false advertising written all over it, but you know what? That's neither here nor there.
Right.
The point is like, when I look at this and I look at, like, people that are in that situation, they're not appealing to an entire demographic of people that don't have that access. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because of stupid business decisions like that, and because of monopolies on internet companies. You know, I get there's only a certain amount. There's a few players.
Right.
It's basically a monopoly if you only have one choice in an area. So, you know, looking at it in hindsight, that was what most of the blowback was, is just give people more options, make it accessible with. And they, you know, by saying, okay, we're going to go all digital now, we wanted to before, and you resisted change, but gosh darn it, we're going to do it again. There's still people that are in those exact same situations, and you're losing sales like that. And PS4 will capitalize on them.
No, we'll see. I mean, I honestly, personally, I don't really think it's that big of an issue.
You live in a major city.
Yeah, but still, I don't live in the city. But my point is,
think, Jared.
I think it's not as the majority can handle downloading a game. It may not take an hour, just like an hour, half hour to download a game, but, you know, you can still deal with it, you know, or you can just go with their streaming service and do the Xbox Game Pass.
But you can't have that if it's not a certain internet connection. That's the other point I'm getting at. So, like, it's cool to have, and it will appeal to a lot of people. I'm not knocking on it.
Right.
By all means. I'm saying if you go away from having a disc to begin with, you are literally making it impossible for people to play your console.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, honestly, case,
like, who's going to buy a console they can't play?
Yeah, well, you know, well, again, we'll see. I mean, maybe they will offer both versions. Maybe they won't.
Hopefully they do. I'm really hoping I'm hoping they're intelligent and they do. And on the flip side of that, that's a lot of retail space you're missing in Walmart and Target.
Right.
Like,
well, you're telling me you don't think though that in the future, eventually down the line, both sides will not offer a digital only version.
I'm saying you can offer a digital only version, but I'm saying if Xbox only has a non-disc version, it's probably that's as dumb as them saying we don't offer backwards compatibility.
Well, I mean, back in the day, even when Xbox One X came out, even if you put a 360 disc in it, you still couldn't play it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my point is, I think in the future down the line, Xbox and Sony, I think they're both going to go towards that way.
I think so, too. I just don't think the time is now. You can't force people into the future. You have to adapt to what's going on around you. That's what makes a good business. You don't set the standard of what business will be. Because, like, especially when your competitor, like, for example, like, Xbox 360 clearly outsold PlayStation, like, PlayStation 3. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason why they did that was flexibility, a better platform. They offered more to customers, right? PlayStation 4 outsold Xbox One because they offered more to customers. The more you take as options from customers, the less you will make. That's just business. That's you know, I understand that there's some people that are very, very greedy and very motivated in that sense. Like, oh, well, you know, it'll save us $3 in shipping per disc or something like that. But, like, the fact of the matter is there's people that still want that disc. And if there's a demand for it, you still cater to it.
Yeah, and I don't see them cutting them off, you know, completely as of
just
now.
Just a rumor. You know, it's just, I'm saying if there's any truth to that, God, I hope it would get to the ears of an Xbox dev. If there's any truth to that, like, come on, you haven't learned yet. You know what I mean? Like, that's all I'm saying. You know, I'm not sitting here like saying like, oh, the future's digital. That's obvious that the future is going to be digital.
Right.
That's, no one's disagreeing with that. But what I am disagreeing with is right now, because in 2019, there are still people that are forced to have crap internet that don't have a choice on it. And you can't tell them that they have a choice on it when they don't.
Yeah,
and maybe
the alternative is that eventually down the line they just making the console with no disc drive, but then offer a disc drive attachment separately.
Who knows? I don't know. And that's, you know, we're speculating until E3, and this is why I'm like, you know, a little bit. It's kind of like Eminem's Kamikaze album. The more time that you leave before you fully show something after you announce that it's coming, the more speculation happens, the more paranoia grows, and the more it actually can affect your stock negatively just because of the lost goodwill that you have. Like, I will say what they did with Xbox One, they bounced back. The One X is fantastic. But, you know, I don't want them to pull an EA where it's like you clearly hear the customer feedback and then you're deaf to it.
You know? I mean, look at a good comparison would be look at the way that laptops have gone. You know, most laptops nowadays, I mean, yeah, there's still laptops out there with disk drives in them, but most of them don't anymore. And they offer, you can get a disk drive as like a, you know, as like an attachment. Yeah. But and so that's probably my guess what they would do. I mean, you know, plus it would make Xbox or Microsoft more money too. Or maybe they'll just say, hey, let's not make it a separate thing and make it just a different version and just have it cost more like they're doing now, you know, which is fine. And that's what I like about this is that this is a cheaper version for people who don't have who are still stuck with their old Xbox One X's, or maybe they're still stuck with 360 and they're fine with an all digital. And now they have a cheaper option. And you throw in the Game Pass too with that, you know, you have even better options. Another thing I just wanted to point out too, is that with the Game Pass, Xbox also said that later this year, they're going to have what they call the Game Pass Ultimate version, which is going to combine. You can now get Game Pass and your Xbox Live subscription service combined, and it'll be $14.99 a month for both. So that way you don't have to pay one annual price for Xbox Live and also pay for Game Pass if you have it. This way you can just get Game Pass and Xbox Live, have access to all the stuff, and not have to worry about your Xbox Live subscription too.
That's huge. That's huge.
So that's going to be really nice. I'm looking forward to that, because that'd be something I might do, because even now sitting here thinking about that, honestly, I can't even tell you when my Xbox Live renews. I have no clue. It just happens. So
in February, and it renews auto renews for, well, it used to auto renew for 12 months, but mine did in February because it ran out for like 5 minutes. And then I went on to Amazon and I bought it on discount near the end of the month. Yeah. By the way, pro tip, Xbox Live for 12 months, you can get it for $45 on Amazon the last 10 days of each month.
Boom. There you go. Boom. Boom. We're saving you money on this podcast. We're saving you money. We're talking about games. We're doing everything.
Exactly. So we're speculating. Maybe being overly paranoid like your crazy girlfriend. Don't know. You know, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. So that was some great stuff with Xbox. But, you know, I think the big thing we want to get into is Star Wars. You know, the big Star Wars announcement, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. EA showed off the first on Saturday. Of course, there was no gameplay footage. That was assumed. We knew that wasn't going to happen. Although they did promise, Respawn did say all the footage that was in that trailer was in-game engine footage.
Just because it was in-game engine footage doesn't mean it was
footage. I know it's not game footage. I'm just saying this is just footage from the engine itself and not something else.
So that's like saying, okay, I made a DVD and I recorded it on this camera. It's from this camera.
Right. Yeah. So they're not saying,
from my iPhone 9.
Yeah. So they're not saying, that'd be like you taking a photo with your iPhone or with like an old school camera and then saying it was from something, you know what I mean?
We're not taking away from the artist's rendition. We understand that there's a clear difference, but just for simplicity purposes.
That's just the point. Yeah. Anyways, it's going to be released. Real estate was November 15th this year, set to release. You can actually even already pre-order it on the Origin, EA Origin launcher.
Who is surprised by that?
I'm not. Yeah, I knew that was going to happen. They're going to allow that happen right away.
I want you to understand something, too. In 2019, a huge selling point and a huge sales pitch to you is no microtransactions whatsoever.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I'm going to be honest with you. I know John's actually excited for the game. I am, too, in a way, but I am hesitant.
Oh, yeah.
Because I love Star Wars, all right? I used to love Star Wars. I loved it until The Last Jedi, which that's a whole different disagreement for us to have on another day, but
right.
I loved it until The Last Jedi, as well as that being timed with Battlefront just being an absolute joke.
Yeah,
and it just seems like Disney didn't care. So,
well, here we go again though with another Star Wars game and movie being released around the same time.
And you know, on the flip side of that too, it looks, you know, it's a single-player game, which EA said that was dead and nobody played them anymore, allegedly. Actually, that's not allegedly. That's actually scientific fact if you actually look it up. So, you know, I'm not sure. It is from Respawn. Respawn's a great developer. Yep. I know Apex Legends is actually down 90% in viewership on Twitch. So I think the phase is kind of blown over with that, but they probably made a quick buck off it. More power to them. I think all things considered, you know, I'm approaching it with hesitation. Essentially the story is about a younger Jedi or Padawan.
It's like a younger Jedi who survived. It's set after the Revenge of the Sith. After Order 66 was put into effect and they're hunting down all the Jedis. This is a Jedi that was basically forced into hiding. They say he was a young Padawan. He's forced into hiding, but he's just kind of just on the run from the Empire. That's the whole story. And of course, he's, you know, doing his normal job and something happens, and he's forced to use his powers to save somebody's life.
I'm going
to
go ahead and guess that, like, there's probably some kind of trackers that are after him or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So he's on the run from a I'm not exactly sure. They didn't give the character a name, but it's a group of Empire soldiers. Yeah, that
Darth Maul.
Yeah. That'd be sick.
They need more Darth Maul in that universe.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
He's really one of the most underrated characters in the Star Wars universe, and he had all of two lines in, like, the second of the original three, or the first three films, whatever the hell, episode two.
But let me run two. There are two people working on this game that were people pointed out that which made this game kind of exciting. One of them, his name is Chris. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing these names right. Chris Avalon. And he actually worked as the lead designer and lead writer on Knights of the Old Republic 2 and Fallout 2. Okay. He didn't work on the other Fallouts, just Fallout 2. But the fact that he worked on the old Knights of the Old Republic, that's huge. You have somebody coming back for this. That speaks volumes to the fans that they could see something like that.
I'm excited, man. I think it has a lot of potential. You know, Anthem had a lot of potential. But, I think it's one of those games where it's like, you know what? Everything sounds right. Everything looks right. Am I going to pre-order it? Hell no. Don't care if you even let me customize my lightsaber. I will gladly see what happens. I will gladly buy it if it's a good single-player experience. I like single-player games. God of War is one of my all-time favorites. Red Dead Redemption 2 story, that was one of my all-time favorites.
Speaking of God of War,
single-player games last year. So,
speaking of God of War, one of the other people working on this game, his name is Stig Asmussen. He's a video game developer who is actually known for his work on the God of War series.
Was it the older God of War series, or is it the newest God of War? Because they're two different animals.
Yes. So he worked as the lead environmental artist, art director, and just the game director on God of War 3.
Okay.
He did not work on the latest one.
That's unfortunate. But
the reason why he didn't is because he worked on God of War 3, and then after that was finished, he actually moved over to Respawn in 2016, and that's when he himself announced that EA was working on a third-person Star Wars game, and hence this game. So he's been working on this game since 2016 as one of the lead artists and art directors on the game. So that's kind of also nice, too, that you have somebody from – has that God of War background with Santa Monica Studios.
It's allegedly going to be in third person, right? Allegedly, it's also going to be – they said it's going to be simplistic and combos are going to matter, but how somebody else explained it, I think it was actually the gentleman from The Quartering. He mentioned that it was going to be most likely like an Arkham Asylum, and I tend to agree based on how they described it. So, and that's cool because Batman was fantastically done for a reason.
Right.
How you felt about Arkham Knight, whole different ballgame. But all things considered, it was not a bad game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. Those games were amazing games and a good game to compare to. We just hope that this can hold up to these critically acclaims. Hopefully, what they say it's going to be is actually what it turns out to be.
Hopefully, it's worth the AAA title.
Right, right.
Right now, if you look at gaming, there's not a lot going on in the next year or so besides Xbox One
that
releases.
We know.
Well, besides Xbox One releases, I mean, think about it. You have Gears of War as a main exclusive, and that's kind of really it, I think. I mean, I can't think of
this year
that's pretty major coming out. I mean, obviously, there's going to be. You know what's embarrassing? I probably said it in other podcasts.
Yep.
But I'm just completely like mentally drained right now, and I can't think of it right now because I'm just not thinking about it. I don't know. Weird. Anyway,
so yeah, it's really, we'll see. Yeah, I'm sure they're gonna release more info, and I don't know if they'll do. They didn't say anything about this, but I'm gonna take a shot in the dark. I'm gonna say there will be. I'm gonna put my bet on it right now. I'm gonna say there will be some gameplay at E3.
I wouldn't be surprised with, you know, how far along they allegedly are in the development of it. That should be the least we see. And
do you think there's going to be a demo at E3?
You know, I don't think so. Well, no. Most single-player games don't really get a demo anymore.
Well, God of War didn't it?
No.
No, really?
Most single-player games don't get a demo.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's see.
Do because they have to stress test servers, you know, and check out on glitches and all that. But, like, because you're more likely, like, if you think about it, there's more things that can go wrong when you're doing an online game than a single-player game, right? So,
right.
You know, it kind of adds to the complexity of it. So layering with textures, everything like that, like it gets way more complex. So I don't know. Maybe they'll have a slight playable demo for like a level, and then I mean that'd be cool. But I'm not gonna hold my breath.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, E3 2019. Like again, it's this June beginning. It's always the beginning of June, so we're getting closer and closer. Only. I don't know what, like a month and a half there, almost there, until E3, which I'm really just looking forward to because I really just honestly I'm excited for E3, not for the stuff that comes out this year, but really for the future, what's coming out. I mean, Halo Infinite, the new Xbox, the new PlayStation. You know, this is actually going to be a good. I forgot about that. So yeah,
It's an irregularity. Yeah. So I don't blame you for forgetting that.
Yeah, I forgot about that, actually. Wow. Yeah, so we won't actually hear anything about the new PS4 at E3, but we'll definitely hear probably something about the new Xbox and Halo Infinite.
For sure.
More, hopefully. Well, I'm going to bet we're probably going to see another Assassin's Creed. probably going to see...
It's sad that I'm actually laughing at that because it's almost like, man, we're really banking on obvious things happening here. There's probably going to be a new COD.
Forza.
Forza 95 is probably coming out.
Minecraft DLC.
Yep. Don't forget to get your DLC skins for Halo.
Yep.
Celebrate Halo Infinite with the new updated graphics of Box Squarey, dude. You know?
So, you know, actually, I wanted to actually ask you this about Assassin's Creed, now that we brought it up. There was some news... Not really. I wouldn't say it's huge news about Assassin's Creed, but yesterday, as we're talking about this today on April 16th, I got it. Yesterday, Notre Dame had actually gone up in flames.
Yeah.
It was a tragic thing that happened, and I feel for the people of France. It's a piece of history that you lost. Already raising money to rebuild it.
Yep, $400 to $500 million from all the rich people so far, not including government. Yeah. I think $50 million from the city.
That's incredible.
It's a 850-year-old landmark. You know,
It's
gonna take years to get it to where it was.
Yeah, exactly.
So just to give you kind of an outline of it, like, you know, it is built with masonry, which, by the way, it's not a dead thing over in France. Masons, like actual masons, they still exist. So you know, are they expensive? Absolutely.
Because
there's not a lot of them that do, but
and now after this, who do you even trust to do the work after this?
Well,
you know,
not the company that was just out there.
That's for sure.
So, they've probably lost their contracts and lost their business.
So, but the reason why I brought that up was because I did see, a small, post on social media and on Reddit. I think one of the game's news outlets even reported on this, saying that Assassin's Creed was actually could actually help them in rebuilding it because it has a actual rendition of Notre Dame in the game. And if you've ever played an Assassin's Creed game, whether set in Italy or in Venice, you know, they are actually really, really detailed and accurate with the way they make things in those games. So, I mean,
let me counter that really quick. Unless it is a perfect to scale rendition. So, like, the biggest thing about rebuilding Notre Dame is that it's never going to be exactly the same.
Oh no, yeah, there's
no corner by corner, crevice by crevice. It's impossible.
Right. I'm not saying this is going to be that they have the exact rendition of the game. It's just more of like the reason why I bring it up is because I want to ask you about like what are your thoughts on the fact that video games could potentially be something, you know, could be used in that sense. You know, the fact that you have a video game that has a rendition of an actual structure in real life, that if something were to happen to it, you know, we have this video. I mean, like, think for example, The Division. You know, you look at The Division 1, it was that was a really accurate rendition of New York City. You know, if you went to New York City, there's literally photos of side by sides, and they were like to a T, like to the plants, the trees, everything.
Yeah.
And it's kind of amazing when you think about that, the fact that people can actually, you know, in the future, if like a building were to get knocked down or something, you can actually use that game as kind of like a let's look back into time kind of, you know, thing.
So where that does go wrong, and, you know, I work in construction, all right? They have blueprints in Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
And the blueprints give you the exact spacing to scale of what you're going to need, right?
Right.
So if people were to follow that exactly to the T, that is what it would be. But, and I did not intend to rhyme that, but it just somehow worked out that way. But kind of circling back on that, the problem is that the building is in the eye of the beholder. So what you imagine a room, maybe by a foot to be, it could be off by that foot. All right.
Right.
And the reason why is somebody else's eye, somebody might have a creative eye for it, or maybe they rebuild Notre Dame and they have like an extra layer of fire protection for the future. It's not going to be the exact same to scale. It'll never be the exact.
Oh, no, right.
It'll be damn close, but it'll be like, it'll probably be 95% accurate compared to what it was. And that's okay because it's still basically the same thing. It's just different, right. You know, and it'll always be different.
I mean, but could you imagine you're a young kid living in France, right? And you pick up that Assassin's Creed game for the first time, and you grow up, you see all the damage that was done by Notre Dame, and you never got to see Notre Dame in all of its glory.
Yeah.
Because of the fire. Now you go and you play Assassin's Creed, and you play it, and it's like, oh, here's Notre Dame. And it's like, you live there, get to see it in its former glory in the game.
That's cool. Yeah, just as a concept, that's pretty cool. I mean, games bring things alive to people that never would normally get to experience them.
Right.
12 million people a year visit Notre Dame, roughly 10 to 12 million, right?
Yeah.
If you really put that into scale, there's 350 million people in the U.S. A lot of people are going back to see it again and again and again.
It's insane.
There's a lot of people that I've met that haven't even left the state.
Actually, you know, it is crazy because one of my coworkers actually was at Notre Dame like not even a few weeks ago, and he saw it and he had pictures of him with it and everything.
Yeah, I saw it when I was 12, but it was or 11 or 12, but it was cool. It's hard to remember it when you're that young.
But, but
you know, it was fun.
But you know, I know this is a touchy subject, but we're talking about something like buildings being destroyed, I have to just bring up, I mean, the World Trade Centers. I mean, they were destroyed, and then the new ones were rebuilt. And in my belief is that they rebuilt them not to exactly the specifications, the exact same. But they rebuilt it as a memorial, as kind of like a new rebirth of the building.
Was it fully rebuilt? I thought it was like left as a memorial.
Well, they left the actual spot where it was as a memorial, but they built the new world, the new trade center next to it. And it's massive and it's nice. And it's beautiful, but it doesn't look exactly like it. It's a new building and it's a new look, which is what, you know, with Notre Dame, that's kind of hard. You can't really compare it because the trade center wasn't like a historical building. It was just a building, a big skyscraper. But, you know, Notre Dame, it's like you said, it's going to be hard to really, you know, rebuild that spec to spec. There are going to be differences. And I, you know, for sure, they're going to definitely make some more precautions when it comes to the fire now in the future. But
absolutely. And I think, like, kind of going back to what you were saying, and it's just a comparison purpose. So, like, most of the foundation and walls were made of stone. Actually, almost all of it was.
Mm-hmm.
What burnt up was the roof.
Was that all wood? Was it?
The roofing was wood, yes.
Okay.
And that's why it had to be redone and refinished over and over again. You know, the stone is stone. It's rock. Yeah. So unless it heats to a certain point and turns into molten lava, it's not going anywhere. It's going to get black marks and stuff, which they can get that off, I think.
Hopefully.
But, you know, for the most part, Notre Dame's really not going to be – it's not all that different because the frame's still going to be there. The base is there to work with. The biggest change that you're going to see is the roofing. The biggest change, you know, and maybe some of the wood that was on in the internal side of it. But, I mean, if you look at – you can see pictures of it burnt right now.
Yeah.
And it looks like the back towards the entrance is okay. But as you go farther back, obviously it looks worse.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I guess wrapping it back, you know, so I think it is kind of just, kind of amazing that games can do that to people now going future in the future, you know, especially with like the division two, you get to see these awesome renditions of real world places. And I kind of think we should have more games like that, that are set in the modern day that have these kind of renditions. Because it's just kind of, you get a more deeper connection with the world around you when you're playing the game, when it's an actual physical place that you know existed. Which is why I think what makes the Assassin's Creed game so special. Not just because of some of its gameplay and whatnot and the story, but just because of the, where you're playing in, it was real, you know, in the past, you know. So, you know, that's just where I wanted to go with that, you know, but put my money on that. I don't know where it will be. Who knows where? I did hear kind of like a rumor that they might do kind of like a Civil War maybe style, or, you know, something along that line, like an older school American version. But I'm not too sure how true that was. Well,
Revolutionary War is the most old school American version you can get, I think, because that's like the foundation of America. But. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I mean, Assassin's Creed's been all over, and they're jumping into every major historical time
period. Yeah, they are.
Like, the Civil War wouldn't surprise me. I would want it to be historically accurate and not told just from one side. I would like it from, like, a poor Southerner side, too. You know.
Assassin's Creed Operation Desert Storm version. I want to see that.
I want to see a World War II version first. I want to assassinate Hitler.
That would be amazing. That would be absolutely amazing.
Yep, I would love to do that. I mean, you know, a Hitler meme is, you know, coming up behind him and stabbing him in the back of the neck. That'd be great. It's like he never actually committed suicide because a Russian version of the Assassin's Creed dude killed him.
Have you ever played the game Sniper Elite?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The point where you get to snipe Hitler is amazing.
Especially, it's got to be one of the best feelings in the world because you just killed somebody that caused mass devastation.
And you could snipe them in the balls, which is even better.
That's fantastic.
It's just those are
things that are too good for gaming.
We need more of that in gaming, please. Just games that don't necessarily take themselves too seriously, you know? Yeah, give me some good gameplay, but, you know when to not be too serious, you know?
You can't even get a Nazi logo in a game nowadays.
Right. It's kind of almost sad, you know, that we've gotten to that level. But just, you know, if you're a game developer...
You'll never see a Battlefield Bad Company again.
Oh, man.
Like, I feel like unless it's a developer that purposely has, like, does not care about sensitivity, you're not going to see any more fun, outlandish games like that anymore. Like,
meh.
And that bothers me more than seeing those types of games and seeing people upset by them. Because if you're upset by a game like Bad Company, where there's cursing and like a lot of grotesque,
well, imagine,
you just have a poor sense of humor, and that's not our fault.
Imagine Conker's. Have you ever played Conker's Bad Fur Day?
Yeah.
Imagine that game nowadays. That game wouldn't even succeed nowadays. It wouldn't even sell.
Amazing.
It was amazing. but it was totally an obscene game.
Because it's so obscene, it might actually sell.
That is true, maybe.
It's kind of like South Park, dude.
Yeah, I guess,
nobody knows
yeah.
how it's still alive, but it's because they go places with humor and they don't care. And yeah. And their reaction to you being offended is, yeah, too bad, we don't care.
And look at the South Park games. Like how
yeah, they're fantastic. They're the most offensive things I've ever played, and I love it.
Yeah, they're hilarious.
Like their way of choosing how hard the game was going to be mm-hmm. was your skin tone. The blacker you were, the harder the game was.
That's insane. That's awesome.
It was the craziest. Like it was like if you go on YouTube, you'll see a cut up of it. It's one of the most awkward but funny as hell moments ever in a game. Ever.
Yeah, and the fact that you have a whole, I don't even what you don't call it. What do you call them over there? It's not a studio, but like the people at South Park, all those people, they know it's a joke. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like even if you get offended by it, they don't care. That's the whole point. They want you to be offended by it.
Yeah, they literally are the least sensitive people on this planet, and it's amazing.
Yeah. So I think that's a good spot to end it. Just say that, you know what? Video games are just made for fun. We're all just here to have a good time.
Yeah.
Just play your game. Have some fun with friends. That's what we're here to do.
Like, I'm anti-PC culture because censorship doesn't only censor people that are actually racist.
Mm-hmm.
It censors the humor behind it.
Now you said anti-PC culture.
Because irony is hated by PC culture.
You can't say the word anti-PC culture on here because then people think that you're against playing the PC.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
Now you're hating on all the PC players.
You're absolutely right.
You're and thinking that you're right. A console lover. What are you doing, Lee? This is horrible.
Yeah, I have no favoritism whatsoever. I am the least biased man you've ever met.
Okay. So, all right. Well, we'll end it there. Let's see. I haven't got nothing really else to talk about. Like I said, it wasn't a huge week in game news, but there were some definitely interesting things. The PSN name changes, the Xbox stuff, the Star Wars game, and just some more us talking about Nordam and all that crap. So,
yeah.
Find us over on Twitter, Facebook at MWM Games Podcast.
Say it with a little bit more excitement. Take two.
All right. You can find us at MWM Games Podcast over on Twitter and Facebook. Go ahead, hit that follow button, hit that like button, and you better share this because you know it's a good episode. And go over. No, wait, you're not done there. You're not done yet, okay? You go over to Apple Podcasts right now, and you give us a good 5-star rating. And then you hit that subscribe button. Oh, what's that? We're on other platforms too? Oh, yeah, that's right. We're on Google Podcasts. We're on Anchor. We're on wherever the hell else you listen to podcasts. We're there. Go ahead, subscribe to us, leave us a comment, let us know how well we did, how horrible we did. It doesn't matter.
Tell me that I suck.
Exactly. Type in there, Lane, you suck. You know, just please, just go ahead, do that. Anything.
I need it because I like when people talk to me dirty.
Well, another thing I want to add to is besides our podcast, Lane, where else can they find you? Are you on social media anywhere else?
Are we talking on a personal level here?
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, you know, if you want people to follow you somewhere
Twitter
else.
I leave Twitter to you. I don't like Twitter.
You're not a Twitter guy? No.
I'm anti-Twitter.
Okay.
You can find me on Instagram. I'm an Instagram model.
Oh, damn.
Yep. I used to be an offensive lineman. They refer to offensive linemen as hogs. So ooh. I'm on the Hogs Weekly Instagram, you know, where I'm posing in a bikini. You know?
Nice.
Looking good. I also have Beers of Instagram. So, you know, it's not truly glorious yet, but I'm working on it.
All right, sweet.
So you know, I'm thinking about on my Instagram, I'm thinking about actually making it so that, you can track my beard progress, you know.
That's important.
So, but, you know, just go through our regular social media channels and you'll be able to find me, I'm sure. So,
yeah. If you want to find me on social media, I'm over there at J Schift. That's JSCHIFT. You can follow me on Twitter. That's pretty much all where I'm at all the time. But I would be, you know, first and foremost, follow our podcast, MWM Games Podcast, Twitter, Facebook, and we'll see you guys later this week.
Thanks, guys.